Here, take a moment and consider why we've come here today. I'll tell you that as I was sitting up here and considering, you know, and looking out, and I don't want to come off wrong, but I can see this distraction that's in our midst this morning. We seem to be distracted. I hope that you've come here because you want something from the Lord today. And in order to receive something, we're going to have to not be distracted and be able to listen. And I've been praying as I've been standing up here if the Lord wanted me to say something about it. And I feel that it's important that I encourage us today. We've come here to hear the word of the Lord. We've come to His house to be together and to put ourselves before Him. And anything that is without these walls, anything that's happened in the hour that's preceded this or yesterday or concerns about tomorrow and all those things, you know, if we spend our time and we spend our moments here considering all of those things, we're going to miss out on what the Lord has for us. And so I want us to consider that here as we enter into this service. I'm grateful for an opportunity to introduce my brother. I know, Lord, that he has prepared, that the Lord has led him in the message that he's going to bring, and we need to be prepared to receive it. So I'm going to give you this morning our brother, Stephen Kimball.
Thank you, brethren. Good morning, brothers and sisters. You guys have probably come to expect silliness from me at this point, haven't you? How painful was that? You want to give me a painful scale it was painful for me sitting there. I know Adam and I were laughing about it beforehand because I'd given him warning. How long do you think we sat there after I was introduced? Anybody want to take a guess?
3 minutes.
We got 2 minutes. We got 3 minutes. Were you looking at your watch?
No.
It was 3 minutes. I came up with this. Or I'd like to think the Lord gave me this idea several days ago that I wanted to just sit there for 3 minutes. And anybody want to guess what my sermon's on today? Wow, it's very good. It's very good. It's on patience. Those who can't teach, and so this morning I get to teach. Something I struggle with, and part of this is about time, because I think there's a time component in it, but to sit here. But anyways, as I was saying, I'd come up with this idea. You know, I wanted to do it just to, not so much to see what happened. I don't think anybody's going to get up and walk out or leave or throw something at me. I figured somebody would go, hey, Stephen, you might want to stand up at some point, but you didn't do it. You were patient, and I appreciate that. Of course, Brother Adam, he set you up a little bit, told you to behave, so I appreciate that. But I do. I want to talk to you about time. Oh, I keep getting distracted there. So when I woke up this morning, and even some last night, I'm like, not going to do that. That's kind of silly. But as I got into reading through my sermon again this morning, you know, I was strongly convicted to start with it, just as a, I don't know, as a point, if you will. So let's start. I want to start on 2 Peter, chapter 3. I want to read 1 through 9. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world was being overflowed with water perished, but the heaven and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men countless slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here Peter speaks to us, and to me this is about impatience. It's about time, and in the Lord's understand, or I shouldn't say the Lord's understanding of time, but our understanding that the Lord sees his time. And there is to us as humans, it's our nature to become impatient with things, to look at things and want things to be done when? Now. Even today, even more so today. It's now. We want it now. We want it now. You know, like we're 2 and 3 year olds. When do we want it? We want it now. And in some cases, 14-year-olds and 11-year-olds and 9-year-olds. We want it now. And we're impatient. You know, we see things in our own glass. And here I think Peter's talking about that and telling us, you know, that the Lord is going to do things in his own time. And to him, time has no bearing on anything other than it's something we as humans measure. I thought I'd give a definition of time. I'm just going to give you one. The measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues is what time means. And there's several different, actually there's at least 14 definitions that I came up with time. It's amazing how much there is. But as you stated, we're going to talk about patience for the bulk of this. But I do think there's a time constant in this patience, right? If things happen now, we would have no need to be patient. So let's turn with me, if you will. I'm going to turn to Mosiah 1. We're going to read 119 and 120. And this is on page 218, and it says this: For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child, submit to his father. Now, I'll have to be honest with you. I hope I'm always honest with you. But you know, when I read that word patient, maybe it's just my nature. I know people have the gift of patience. They're able to do everything. But sit and watch and listen to people. You'll hear their impatience. And I am one that struggles with patience. I want things now. I want that job now. I want this now. I want school to be done now. I want my next problem to be done now. But that word patient, you know, we look at that stuff. You know, we talk about submissive and we talk about meek and we talk about humble and full of love. But that word patient is thrown in there. It's very interesting to me. Let's turn. So I broke this out into several different ways of looking at patience. Let's turn to Romans 5, 1 through 4. And it says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But look how prominently patience stands in there. It's an essential quality that we have. And he says, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Think about trials that you've had in your life. Think about English language is escaping me again. Temporal things, you know? You know, riding a bike. We don't just hop up one day and all of a sudden we're scooting along. We get to fall a few times. We get to flip over the handlebars a few times, but with that experience, we learn how to do it. And think about our trials, too. As we get into our trials, the difficulties of life, you name it. You're in a fight with a brother or sister, a family member. You're having a terrible time at work. And when you endure that patiently, you gain an experience from that, don't you? And you learn, you know, next time I do that, I can be more patient for us. And so with that, we get patience. Let's turn with me to Alma 18, 3 and 4. And as I've said before, I love these three chapters as Alma is talking to his three sons, Shiblon, Coriantumr, and Helaman. In this case, he's talking to Shiblon. And look what he says to Shiblon. He says in verse 3 and 4, this is page 443. He says, I say unto you, my son, that I have great joy in thee already because of thy faithfulness and thy diligence and thy patience and thy long-suffering among the people of the Zoramites. For I knew that thou wast in bonds, yea, and I also knew that thou wast stoned for the word's sake, and thou didst bear all these things with patience because the Lord was with thee. And now thou knowest that the Lord did deliver thee. And we see what he says about Shiblon. He noticed his patience. And what was he patient about? He's patient about waiting upon the Lord. He was patient because he knew he was in the Spirit of the Lord and the working of the Lord would work with him to help them through this trial. And he could see that. And he could see the patience that he had in suffering these afflictions. Let me go on here. I'll get to that in a second. Let's go to James 1, 1 through 4, I think. James 1, 1 through 4 says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so he uses that example, you know, and we've read this 1,000 times. You know, call it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. And then he says, you know, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So with this experience, with this trial, with this temptation, with this difficulty, if we can endure it with patience, and think about, I mean, I don't even know if I can do justice to explaining what it's like, okay? You know, if you're, you know, a simple way, I guess, if your house is on fire, and you're turning into a spaz, and you're running around, and you're running in the house, and you're doing all these things you shouldn't be doing when you should be stopping, you should be thinking, and in this case, obviously, you're praying, you're waiting for the fire department to get there and help you with these things. You know, it's a temporal example, but it's the same thing. You know, think about all the examples of your life, of what this has done. I mean, I can't tell you how many jobs I've applied for in my life that I didn't get. The job that I got in Kansas City that moved me to a different position, I applied for 3 times before I finally got it. And I think they gave it to me just because they were tired of seeing me. But no, they appreciated the fact that I was patient. It's a completely different story. But the first time I came in, I happened to know the guy that I was applying with, and I didn't dress the part. I came in slacks and a pullover shirt, but I didn't come in. You know, I should have wowed him with a suit and a tie, but that's a different story. But I learned from that through patience. One is that maybe that wasn't the right time to get me the job. In the first case, I can tell you this, it wasn't the right time for the job because I didn't come properly dressed, because I didn't come with the proper attitude. You know, we can look at scriptures that talk about coming with the proper dress to the wedding, can't we? We've got to get ourselves prepared. But when I came to that first one, I took it casually. This is easy. I don't need to impress anybody in this interview because he's a friend of mine. I played basketball with him. But he made that point to me. He said, you don't look like someone who's ready for this job or wants this job. And, you know, and so, that's interesting. But it was where I wanted to be. I desperately wanted to be there. And I knew it was right, so I went back the second time, and I was dressed to the nines as much as a 70 person with 70% redneck in him could do. I dressed really well for the part. I did the interview, you know, and I got beat out by somebody who was better than me. And the third time I came, you know, same thing. But I endured those first two interviews. I could have easily been prideful, but you know, I patiently waited for, okay. I did not patiently wait. I'm lying to you about that part of it, okay? I can say that wrong. But as I look back of it and that expectation, I learned patience from that. That I don't have to get all excited about these interviews. That I can trust in my God, that if it's my job to get, I can go to that interview, I can give it my 100%, I can dress properly, I can come with the right attitude, and apply for that job. And if I get it, wonderful, praise God. And if I don't get it, wonderful, praise God. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. And I learned, and I'm still, I'll tell you through this whole sermon, I'm still a failure at patience. I'm terrible at this. But I know if I think about that situation, excuse me, especially when it relates to jobs, that if I'll endure it patiently, whatever happens, great, let it happen. All right, let's go. I want to go to a different instance, if you will, of the word patience, and we're going to talk about the Word of God. Let's turn to Alma 16. I'm going to read 170 through 173. So this is, we're right in the middle of Alma talking to the Zoramites, and the Zoramites, of course, they were a prideful people, and they went up on their little tower and they chanted something, and there was a group of people down below that were kicked out of the synagogues, and they didn't know how to worship, and they were a poor people, and they were picked upon, and they were bullied and all of these things. And he's talking about this seed. We were talking about this seed. I'm sorry. Amy, Sarah, can somebody get me a glass of water or something, please? So 170 to 173 says this, and I'm sorry. So he's talking about the seed growing and that what you're supposed to nourish it and strengthen it. In verse 170 on page 425 says, "But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure." "And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for thee, for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you." Thank you. Did you put some ice in that? I'm just kidding. And so again, as I looked up, you know, I did a search on patience and patient and some of the other things. And, you know, as I read these scriptures, you know, the scriptures I read so many times, but that word patient may have been just kind of glossed over there. But it's amazing how patience fits into all of this. But we have to be willing to take hold of this. And he uses this example of the seed. And as a seed that we're supposed to have patience and waiting on it develop. You know, we don't, I guess it's perfect timing. I didn't even think about it. But, you know, I plant the grass out there. I planted that last Saturday. And here it's popping up. You know, I looked at it every, well, yes, I did. I looked at it every day that I was here. And when I came back, I kept looking. I go over there every day. It's like my little babies over there, waiting for them to grow and pop up. And I see them and they start to pop up and it's so neat. And then if you get the sun right and you look at the angle and you can just see how full it is. And then you see my bare spots that either water pushed, who knows what happened there. It wasn't good ground or something. They don't grow. And so you replant it. But I don't wake up tomorrow morning and I see a beautiful field of green grass that we can trounce about and prance in and roll around in without destroying it. They're still young and they're still learning and they're still building strength. And what he's saying here, I believe he's saying, is that we have to patiently wait on stuff. You know, as new members of the gospel or as a trial comes upon us and we seek the Lord and we don't get the answer, or we don't get the answer that we want, do we give up? Do we stop? You know, well, that's my answer. I'm not waiting anymore. You know, keep going. Every step of the way. Wait for that seed to develop. You know, as young people, as new in the gospel, you know, you may have received something from the Lord as a witness. And you wanted more of it, and you sought it. But, you know, there's times that it has to develop, and we have to wait patiently. And think about the opposite of waiting patiently. The decisions that we make when we're not patient are not pleasing to God because we don't wait on Him. We're not putting our belief in a God that will give us everything. Our brother Adam talked about it a little bit this morning. Let's put away the world. Let's settle our minds and think about what the Lord can do for you today if you'll but wait for it. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that. Let's go to Luke 15. I apologize. This is going to be a long reading. Luke 15, 11 through 32. And this is the Well, this is the story, they call it the parable of the lost son. I want to read all of this to you, if you will. And there's several points I want to make in this, and I'll make them probably at the end. However, somebody else may be reading very soon if I can't speak. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with his husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was... I'm sorry. And he rose and came his father, but was yet a great way off. His father, I can't get through that. Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is found alive, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We can read the parable of the lost sheep before this. And we can read the parable of the lost coin before this. And we can see what the Lord, what he does with his people. He's patient with his people. I'm sure as a father, if my son had taken his things and left and went away, it'd be a tremendous burden upon my family. And in this case, it says it there that, it more or less says it there that, he went away. It was symbolic of him leaving God and not being a part of it. And as a father, I can understand his pain in losing his son. But it doesn't talk about it so much there, but he wasn't, he let him do his thing and he was patient. He waited on his return. And when he returned, there was a great feast and there was merriment and all of these things took place. And again, it doesn't say it there. But I don't, maybe he was sending messages to his son or whatever, come back home, let me chase you. But he waited patiently on this young man. I want to read the rest of this. In verse 25, it says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hast devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Through experience, I'm sure his elder son learned patience in that, but at the same time, he showed his impatience. He showed how he was looking at himself and considering himself in all of this. What about me? And we show our impatience in that. this local, this gospel is what? To spread the gospel. To teach others about the things that we know and that we understand and we comprehend and we have seen and we have witnessed. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not about me anymore. And I should do everything I can with patience to put away everything that I can and put my focus on the Lord. Put your focus on your brothers and sisters where they need help. I want to talk. And we'll get someone into that, and there are patients there. Let's go to Romans 15. I'll tell you a little secret. Not that it really means anything to you, but you know I'm kind of a computer nerd when it comes to technology and stuff. I love to do it, and I don't often use it unless I've got specific things to show, but what typically happens like I have now is I come up, there's a subject that comes up and I write down some of the scriptures and then there's more and then I've got like 400 scriptures that by the time Ken's ready to preach, I'll be done tonight, and maybe that just counts for Ken, but so I don't put it up on the screen because I don't want to read them. I know I won't want to read them all, but so I'm skipping some of them here. Romans 15, 1 through 7. And this is to that point that I was just making about us, about getting our lives in order, not being like the sun that we're we're looking at everybody else that's getting the attention, and I'm not getting the attention. So let's read this. Romans 15, I want to read 1 through 7. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Verse 5 is that key verse. Now the God of patience and consolation grant to you to be like-minded one toward another according to the Christ Jesus. We have a need, and it says even the big beginning, you know, we who are spiritually strong have a need to care for this gospel and to help our brothers and sisters if they're struggling with this. But we have got to get ourselves in that position. No more conflict. No more contention. To believe that this church is the church of Christ, not arrogantly. You know, we aren't the only people that are God's people. I have no doubt about it. There are people out there that are good people. But we have to remember, He set this church up. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He set this church up. It was ordained ahead of time that these things would happen. And this church would be set up in these last days to take this gospel forth into the world. And it's not happening in our time, is it? It's not happening. I know that our brothers have said many times, you know, as I see them come back here, the need for ministry in these locations that are large areas, India and Ethiopia and some of the areas that are without ministry. I'm sure that they would be perfectly happy to have ministry called, but for some reason it's not happening. It hasn't happened yet, has it? No. We have a need for ministry there, you know, and we have to wait patiently. And waiting patiently doesn't necessarily mean I'm doing nothing. You know, that there may not be ministry there because there's some conflict there. There may not be ministry there because the man who needs to take that position isn't ready because he doesn't think he can do it. And he needs our prayers for strength and for courage. You know, I can't stress that enough. You know, we need to patiently get ourselves in the proper shape and the proper position to serve our God. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about this gospel. It's about our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 18, please. Verse 21-35, I believe, yep. Then came Peter to him and said to Christ, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord's servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And so, of course, the man went before him, was owed this money, and asked him to be patient with him and that he would pay this debt. And, of course, he went around and also used that patience that Lord had taken with him, and he himself was going to be patient, right? Well, that's not the case, was it? It's not the case. Then the Lord's... Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of the fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest now thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Thought it was interesting, this meeting this morning. I was worried my brother Gordon was going to get into this sermon, but he or this scripture right here, he might as well have. But he talked about, and I think he would be okay. You know, he had some serious issues with his father, if you've ever met that. Heard him give that testimony, and it was difficult, very, very difficult. He had extreme anger against his dad. And you know Gordon, when he gets angry, it gets fun. But he was angry. And he was able to forgive his father the things that he had done to him. And it was gross wickedness as far as I was concerned. It was difficult. If you've never heard that testimony, ask him to tell you about it. And as I think about it, I'm going, boy, there's only one way I can get out of that. And if that's... I patiently wait on the Lord to help me clear that from my mind and from my heart, to get rid of that anger. And here we have this servant that was shown patience, that was shown forgiveness from his master. And then he turned around and was that wicked servant, went out to just beat these people up and take money from them so he could go pay that debt. And when his master found out about it, he took that away and he condemned him. And so we have to be careful as we interact with people and our brothers and sisters. We must be patient in everything that they do. None of us are perfect. None of us have perfect attitudes. We don't always come with that cheery disposition, that cherub-like disposition you hope that you have. You know, it doesn't happen. We have bad days and we have good days, and we've got to be patient with each other. You know, I've talked about it before in our personalities. You know, you can have this personality quirk or something that just gets underneath my skin, and I have to be patient with it, because I know that you're not, well, in some cases maybe you are doing it on purpose, but I have to be patient with it. And if it's bad enough, we need to talk about it or whatever it is, but we've got to be patient with each other. If we don't have each other, boy, it's going to be hard to spread this gospel, but I promise you the Lord's going to do it with or without you. He's going to do it. And so we have to be patient in this gospel with each other so that we don't distract from what the message is. Sorry, I forgot what this was. Let's turn to Alma 12, please, page 374. And I'm just going to read 150 to 152, but I need to set this up. Now, this is the point where Ammon had gone to the king, and these were the Lamanites. They had gone to preach amongst the Lamanites, and they were a wild and a loathsome people, and he was there to tell them about the God, and they had received his, they believed his words, and the spirit was so strong that they had all collapsed underneath the power of the spirit, and they were all collapsed there, and all was left was this. Well, I shouldn't say all that was left, but there was a bunch of people looking on going, what's going on? And so let's read 150 to 152. And it came to pass that they did call on the name of the Lord in their might, even till they had fallen to the earth, save it were one Lamanitish woman, whose name was Abish, she having been converted unto the Lord for many years on account of a remarkable vision of her father. Thus having been converted to the Lord, never had made it known. Therefore, when she saw that all the servants of Lamoni had fallen to the earth, and also her mistress, the queen, and the king, and Ammon lay prostrate upon the earth, she knew that it was the power of God, and supposing that this opportunity, by making known unto the people what had happened among them, that by beholding this scene, it would cause them to believe in the power of God. And so we see this lady, this Lamanitish woman, Abish, and she had been converted for many years. So she sat amongst a people that had this hatred for the Nephites and this hatred probably for God to some extent. And she was among them. And I'm sure she wasn't shy possibly of explaining these things. But she had to wait for many years for this event to happen. And she waited patiently. You know, we were reading this morning. I always like to read it. And we talk about the people with this great prosperity that happened among the people. And we were reading in second chapter of Helaman. And they had come into this great prosperity. And what happens every time a people comes prosper, they become filled with pride. And they basically were destroying themselves. But it's interesting to look at it. You know, it happened over a period of 5 years. I've shown the picture before of my me standing next to my future wife as she's standing next to her current husband with her two kids. And I'm standing right next to him in a picture. And I remember showing that in Sunday school, and it was probably 5 years later. And think what had changed in my life. I had two kids. I had moved from Kansas City to Iowa to Phoenix. And now I had probably four kids at the time I showed the picture. Things change rapidly and quickly. And we don't, you know, that's part of the experience of life as we go through this, as things are happening. How much easier do trials become and temptations come when we leave it to the Lord? Not meaning leaving that we're sitting around doing nothing, waiting for Him to take care of everything. But that we know with patience, with calmness, with modesty before the Lord, that we know He's going to help us take care of this. That we know that whatever pain, whatever anger, whatever fear I might have, He's going to carry us through it. And we must do these things with patience, knowing that you know, what's a year in our life? I talked about it this morning. You know, what's a year? Think about your year this year. What has happened? So many things. Your attitude. You might be spiritually through the roof. You might be spiritually in the basement in just 6 months' time or however many months we're in. Where are we at? 9 months' time. You know, your life has changed dramatically. So we must be patient with this time and wait upon the Lord, wait upon things to happen, but be active in that patience. Let's talk about patience. This one cracks me up. Hopefully I don't offend anybody here. Let's turn to Mark 13:32. And this is Christ. He's this is the prophecy about the coming of the end times, and he's talking about his return. And he says in 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And so we are asked multiple times, and I'll quickly read some of those, that we're to patiently wait for that time of the Lord. How many people have passed away in this earth that were patiently waiting for the return of the Lord? How many people in this room will die patiently waiting for the return of the Lord? The part that makes me laugh about this, and again, I don't think I'm going to offend anybody, but you got to be careful. But there was a local that I used to attend from time to time. And how should I put this? They were well beyond retirement age. Probably 90% of the local was beyond retirement age. And every time I went there, it was the same thing. They talked about the end times. They talked about the return of the Lord. I'm happy and I'm looking forward to it. But everything was about, it wasn't so much gloom and doom, but everything was a point to this is happening, and he's coming soon. I mean, there was a great fervor about it every time. And it was because that they knew, and in their lives, things weren't working as well as they once did. And so they're looking for that time more so probably to meet Christ, because they know there's not much in between them and that return. You know, with some of you younger ones, us younger ones, we in theory have more years left. And so, you know, we don't talk about it, but we have to wait patiently. It could be tomorrow. It could be a month. And if we get ourselves all excited about it, the goal is still the same. You know, if you get excited about it and it causes you to spread the gospel greater, go for it. But we have to wait patiently for him. And we don't know when that time is that it's going to come. Let's go to Psalm 30:27. I'll share with you a testimony, if I can. This was years and years ago. The Lord, this is like the words the Lord likes to give me. I'll read it. 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'd been waiting on something that the Lord had told me about for several years. And it's not the first time he's given me this passage of Scripture, but I'd been waiting on something to happen that I thought for sure was going to happen, and it didn't take place. And I had a six-hour drive in front of me, and I made that six-hour drive, and I was angry. I wasn't angry at the Lord. I'm not courageous enough to do that, okay? But I was angry that whatever was happening just didn't happen. And I got in my hotel room that night, and, you know, and I was fiddling through my scriptures, and I was upset at things, and, you know, the scriptures opened up. And it might as well have been a billboard sign driving down the road, and the scripture popped up. And as I told you many times already, I'm not a patient person. I want things to happen. And even though I thought it was supposed to happen then, it was going to happen, and these things were going to happen in sequence and all of this stuff. And he said, wait on me. You know, it's my time being the Lord's time. It's not your time. You know, things don't happen when you want them to happen. They happen when they're perfect. When they're right before the Lord, that's when they're going to happen. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. You know, that I've titled this patience, but the original thought was to never give up. But if we're to have patience, you should think about that. Never give up. whatever it is, don't give it up unless the Lord pushes you in a different direction. You know it's the Lord. But you don't have to give up. We don't have to give up on our brothers and sisters that have walked away from this gospel. You know, we don't have to go beat their doors down every day necessarily unless you feel led to. But we can pray for them. And we can desire them to be here. We can pray for the ministry and hope that someday men will be called. And it'll take some of the burden off of our brothers that have to go over there. And we pray for this gospel to unfold. And we pray most important, I guess I shouldn't say most importantly, but most expectantly that the Lord will return. Because this world is becoming extremely filthy, difficult to live in. It burns my heart when I read that testimony from our brother there in the Philippines. And I'm not sure if, I think it was Jay who forwarded on. And to listen to their trials, you know, and we little sissies here in the United States think we have our trials. And look what they go through, the deaths and the murders and things that happen to them. And it burdens my heart to hear what they're going through. And I desire that Christ would come. But I'm to wait patiently for Him. I want to finish with Ecclesiastes. Probably know where I'm going. Ecclesiastes 3. And I want to finish with 1 through 8. Maybe. I may read further. Probably not. To me, this sums up the patience portion of this and our need to wait upon things. This is chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate and a time of war and a time of peace. You know this, they call him the preacher, this is Solomon, related to Solomon words, and you think about, you know, this and Proverbs, you should really spend, I know I'm always telling you to read stuff and we're always reading stuff, but you know, a man that was given a gift of wisdom, you know, we should spend some time in this and in all of these scriptures that he gives us. And he talks about vanity. And when you think about it, at least the way I read it, you know, our lives are filled with vanity. You know, what good is what job we have or what school we do or what clothes we wear or what happens today or tomorrow? It's all vanity. We all have one goal in mind, and that's salvation. And all these things that happen in between, all these trials, all these difficulties, you know, they're really part of that vanity. We have one goal, one mission in life, and that's to stand before our Father and to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So brothers, endure with me patiently till these end times, and through our trials and our difficulties, and we that are strong help those that are not. Thank you for your time. I'm sorry, make you wait 3 minutes before I started.